Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
Hi, Seth. Nice to meet you, and thanks for accepting my invitation and being able to talk here in my podcast.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
How are you, and how is the weather in UK, right?
Yes, UK. Sunny England. The weather...
Sunny England.
This is, I know, it's almost an oxymoron. But there is, I'm looking out my window now. I can't see a single cloud. The green of spring is jumping up. So it's a very beautiful couple of days we have in the UK every year. This seems to be one of like mm-hmm. five. So I'm going to enjoy it while I can.
So first thing I just learned is that UK can be sunny, which is good news.
Yeah.
Besides that, Seth, please tell us a little bit about yourself and what are you working with usually?
Okay, well, I'm an air quotes entrepreneur. I mean, that's code for I don't fit in a 9-to-5 box mm-hmm. and I have to find another way. So, you know, I work on a couple of different projects. My life philosophy has always been there's a certain type of life I want to engineer for myself, and I had to find a route that allows me to get there. Obviously, one of the better ways to do that is through business and through kind of doing things in a new way. But I always do that in the context of what kind of life do I want to live? And for me, the kind of three guiding principles for me were freedom. They were choice. And it was the ability to be able to satisfy my curiosity. Mm-hmm. So they're the three kind of guiding principles that I aim for. You know, working in entrepreneurship, innovation, business, I think so far has given me the best route to doing that. So in terms of what I'm working on now, I have my company called Medeo. That's looking at innovating supply chains, specifically in vanilla, coming from Madagascar. So we're building that very slowly and really getting to know the people on the ground, building relationships, and hopefully over time, really innovating that supply chain. I'm on the board of a charity called Advisor, working in the career space here in the UK, supporting mm-hmm. People in terms of their kind of career guidance and advice. I kind of have some other kind of consulting projects as well that puts bread on my table and money for my business. And that's kind of working in natural health and building out a digital ecosystem for a client I'm working with there. And then other bits and projects that, as I said earlier, tickle my interest, mm-hmm. and things that I feel really are meeting a very specific human need. That's for me. I'm not here going to be building a optimization for an e-commerce store. That's not the kind of person I am. I really want to build things, companies, and work on projects that really meet a very clear and very real human need. So in a nutshell, that's me.
Okay, great. And Seth, how did you start? What's your story?
Okay, that's a great question. How long do you have, Florian?
I can wait. You know, I can listen to you.
Yeah. So I think the best place to start my story is kind of with, you know, my heritage. So my mm-hmm. parents are from the Caribbean. My father is from Jamaica. My mother is from Barbados. Their families emigrated to the UK kind of in the 60s. So it was that, they call it the Windrush era. Mm-hmm. So I'm the first generation in my family that's born in the UK. My grandmother doesn't have more than a primary school education, but, you know, as with, you know, many immigrants to different countries, there's kind of the knowledge and the understanding that the education is a pathway to social mobility. So when I was growing up, from my parents, you know, went to school, went to university, had professional careers, I was faced with what I call the immigrant's dilemma. or the immigrant's choice, whatever you want to call it. You can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, or you can be an engineer. They are the three safe industries that, you know, you could give you good career prospects. And it so happened that I chose law. So studied law at university, really on the being carried by that wave of, you know, these are the things you should do to kind of develop and have a good future for yourself. So you listen to the advice around you and you kind of go with that as a child. I was always a very bookish kid. I used to think I was very outgoing until I had a conversation a couple of years ago with a friend from high school. And I said, no, I was always outgoing. And she said, no, Seth, you were a geek. You were always in the library. I was like, no. I was really protesting. And she was very insistent. No, you were always in the library. And I said, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. So as growing up, I loved books. I loved to read. It was a really great escape for me. I went to a school where there were eight people, I would say eight black people in a school of 1,000. And then of kind of ethnic minorities, maybe another 10 to 15. So it was a very interesting time growing up where I was really kind of learning about the world from a very theoretical perspective. I love books. I love, you know, you work out things in your head. But I was probably lacking a little bit in kind of practical life experience, if I'm being honest, and as I look back. So going back to university, studying law, finished studying law, and really took stock. University was my time, as with many people, was my time to really start to see what life was actually like outside of my safe little bubble. And that really hit home for me that I had a very theoretical knowledge of the world, but that theoretical knowledge of the world didn't always align with the reality of what I had in front of me, what I was seeing and experiencing. So it made me really take stock and think, why am I on this path in life? You know, studied law, want to work in the city, be a corporate lawyer, yada, yada, yada. But is this really me? And the feeling that came back when I reflected on that was no. So I had to make a change. I was like, well, I don't want to do the prestige of being a lawyer. What other options are there for me? And I said, well, Seth, you're 22. Chase the money. You've got the ability to do that. Go make money. So I went into IT sales. And really, again, with all the my mindset was feel what life is like. Don't think about it. Feel it. Have some experience. So I went into IT sales. I really enjoyed it, but I realized probably about 12 to 14 months in that being in a corporate 9-to-5 box wasn't me. So I'm now having a quarter life crisis. I'm not motivated kind of by prestige and by how people perceive me. I'm not motivated by money. So what is the point? And so then I really had to think, and again, another deep reflection, introspection. And I said, well, Seth, you're going to have to make your own box. Maybe you just don't fit in a box that somebody else makes for you. You're going to have to figure life out for yourself and make a life for yourself that you build and that you choose, which is where those kind of three guiding principles for my life came. This was when I was 24. And that's when I kind of dipped my toe in the water of startups and innovation and doing things your own way. And I'm 30 now, so I've been in the space for 6 years. Lots of perspectives, lots of failures, a few successes, but the main takeaway is a huge amount of learning, both about myself and about the world. So I would say overall, an extremely rewarding, fulfilling journey so far. So that in a nutshell is my story so far.
What are some of your biggest failure? Because, you know, we all speak about success. But I don't know, my personal experience is that I learned maybe much more from my failures, which were quite a few. What is one of your biggest failure and what did you learn from it?
Yes, okay. And I agree with what you said previously around you learn more from failures than success. I think for me, the reason why, in my experience, I agree 100% with that is because there's a huge gap between our perception, how we see the world, and reality, how the world actually is. And essentially what failure is it's revealing to us in a very clear, stark way, the gap between our perception and the reality. Mm-hmm. So I think I agree with you that when you experience failure and you're able to process it in the right way and learn from it, it's extremely growth enabling. So I would say my biggest failure was my first attempt and first foray into startups, which was an education company looking at how do we build software for universities and students in Africa, in developing countries. I love education, and I thought to myself, hey, Seth, you love reading, you love education. You're not necessarily an academic. I didn't go past my bachelor's and do masters and PhDs and MPhils and all of that. But I was an academic person. I like to think. And I said, yeah, education. So Africa was a passion of mine. My father's worked in Africa for over 30 years. So I always had it wasn't a fearful landscape for me. So I said, okay, let's do it. So worked up to an MVP stage, went and pitched to a lot of universities. I identified Namibia as a great launch market for us, because, you know, there's a population of just over 1 million people right next to South Africa. There's a lot of interoperability between those two kind of markets. So if you can get something to work in a test market of Namibia, likelihood it's going to work in South Africa and kind of that sub-Saharan belt. So went and pitched, good feedback, yes, this is great. And then got back to the UK and I was just like, right, so we've got to build this into a company now. I'm going to need more money, going to need people, going to need everything. And in that real journey, and being honest with myself, I was like, there's no way on earth I'm ready for this. I'm not the right person. And a lot of the questions that came back was, okay, doing research into how do you sell into kind of tertiary education. It's a very closed shop. You know, everybody knows everybody. How is this going to work? It's a very long sales cycle. And I just thought to myself, Seth, you are woefully unprepared for this. Like, you can't do this. And not in a defeatist way, but it was just a very honest way. So I had to close the business because I wasn't ready. And I say it's my biggest failure because for me, that's the biggest gap I've had in my life between my perception of what I was able to do and the reality of what I was able to do. And once I was aware of that, it really helped me to grow really a lot. I'd done all this work, I'd done all this research, I've traveled down to Namibia, I pitched and presented, and the man, I came back, and once I realized, I felt like nothing. I was like, Seth, you're a mm-hmm. waste of time, man. Like, what were you doing? How did you not see this? And, you know, after that failure, it really opened my eyes to really, Seth, you know, you have to realize who you are and be honest about that. If you can be honest with yourself about who you are, it will unlock a lot of doors for you, because you won't be going through doors that you have no business going through. And the doors that you open, once you see the opportunities on the other side, you will have the skill set and the tools to do something about it, as opposed to just getting in the door and being like, yeah, okay, this is the wrong door. So that's, I'd say, my biggest failure. And it really set me on the journey, Florian, of self-discovery and self.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Honesty. And since then, I've always tried to be honest with myself, and that allows me to be honest about what I am and I'm not capable of, what I am, what I can and cannot achieve, and if I can't achieve it on my own, what other options are there? And then you start to see the value of people and collaboration and cooperation, and it really has unlocked a lot of value and a lot of opportunities and a lot of quote-unquote success for me once I realized that that very critical life lesson, that's not all about you.
Speaking about lessons, what are some of the most important lessons you learned from all of your experience, like the most important two or three lessons you could think of?
Oh, there's so many. The first one for me is know yourself and be honest with yourself. When we're deluding ourselves, it only leads to very negative things in the long run. In the short run, you may be able to make it work either because your brain is so brilliant, or you've got a great network, or you've got a lot of resources, or whatever it may be. But in the long run, self-delusion always comes up, and it always will mess things up at some point. And it will be unexpected, and it will be quite systematic. I can't stress this enough, Lauren. I've really tried my best every day, every week, every month, every year to get to know myself better and to be honest about what I see. When we look in the mirror, you know, of ourselves, we look at ourselves, it's not always a pretty face that's looking back at us. And if you can come to terms with that and be at peace with your own strengths, weaknesses, beautiful elements to your character, the elements as well, that really unlocks a lot of value, because you can be at peace with yourself despite what's going on around, and you're able to maximize your ability to deliver value. So I think that's the first one, know yourself. Mm-hmm. The second big lesson I've learned is staying in your lane, but finding your superpower lane. So what I mean by that is, we all have very unique talents. We all have very unique skills. And the way society, the world is structured, is that it places an uneven weighting on certain skill sets and certain ways of carrying yourself and certain ways of success. And what I've learned is that you can't chase the template. You have to make your own, because you are unique. So for me, very practically, that's a very abstract statement. Make it very practical. I don't do well when I'm a solopreneur. My skill set's very well honed for working in groups of people. You know, I'm fairly observant. I like paying attention. I actively listen. So I'm able to see things and then use that information that I gather around people and information, and I, you know, connect the dots. You know, that's the way my brain works, more an abstract thinker and an observer. So my skill set works really well in groups of people. So if I'm trying, and this goes back to my first failure, if I'm trying to do things on my own and really trying to be that superhero solopreneur, I'm really leaving a lot of potential value on the table, because that's not me. The minute I realized in my life journey that I worked best with other people, and I actively sought out that collaboration, that cooperation, that back and forth, that team approach to things, you know, from an external perspective, that's when my kind of success hit rate on projects, on whatever I was doing, really started to climb. So that's the second big lesson I've learned. Find, you know, staying in your lane is not a bad thing, but just find your superpower lane and work out how to be around that.
So it's actually a little bit about finding, you know, like your focus in a place where you can use your potential. Correct. Something like that.
Exactly right. And you know, although the outcome or the output may be similar, you know, whether that be I want to build a successful company, I want to build a great not-for-profit, you know, that's a very objective outcome, but the means by which you achieve that is going to be different for every individual. I have a lot of highly successful friends in the startup space, you know, raised millions, successful companies, Forbes 30 under 30, yada, yada, yada. I cannot deliver value the same way they can, and they cannot deliver the value, the same value the way I can. So it's just a very understanding of, hey, this is me. I'm not trying to be anybody else. I'm me. And I will work and be consistent in trying to deliver the best value I can for you, not because not following a template. So yes, I agree with what you just said.
Okay.
You got room for one more, or do you want to just stick to two?
If you have something more to say, I'm listening to you.
You're very generous. The only other thing that I think comes to mind that very strongly comes to mind is that great things aren't built overnight, and it takes a lot of patience to build things of value. And the next level beyond that in my journey that I've realized is that to be a quote unquote great person, you know, an individual that contributes to society that is net positive wherever they are, as opposed to a maybe sometimes positive, maybe a net negative, because you're brilliant at delivering results, but you're a horrible human being, and you, the human cost of delivering that success is so high for everybody else. That to kind of be a great person is a worthy goal as well. And that's really the work of a lifetime, and it takes a lot of intention. So the objective success, yeah, great, not built overnight, but don't forget the self-development, and don't forget that, you know, we owe it to the world to be net positive in wherever we are. Not just we built a great business, but we're a horrible human being. So they're the three main lessons I've learned.
I like to talk about books. What are some of the books that influenced you a lot? You know, like they changed your life, or at least, you know, some of the books that really influenced your journey.
Yes. Okay, that's an interesting one. Ooh, there's so many books. As I said, I was a very bookish kid. I think the ones that stick to mind in this phase of my journey, the first one is Principles by Ray Dalio. I think that's a very popular book everywhere. Yeah. I think you probably had that many times on your podcast. Yeah. But for me, I'm a very abstract thinker. So to have somebody that was also a fairly kind of abstract thinker, but also was able to translate that into very tangible success and had a very defined process for that was very, very interesting for me. And it really set me on the road of really understanding that, hey, you know, you have to, you know, you need to have some level of structure. You can't just be totally oblivious to the world. And you have to figure out how you take your unique value and how you then apply that in the context of the world. So I think that Principles by Ray Dalio is a great one. Essentialism, the disciplined pursuit of less. Yes.
Greg McKeown.
Yes. Okay. I think for me, you get into this mindset where you're on the entrepreneurial always be hustling mentality, and I'm going to do lots of different things. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on that. But when I read that book, I actually realized the value of focus, and I realized the value of addition by subtraction. And once I realized that, that was another kind of big value unlocker for me, that I was able to really start unlocking more potential for myself. So that's the second one. Two more big ones. The other one is Turn the Ship Around by David Marquette. He was a submarine captain, and he really talks about how do you structure and empower an organization. In his context, it was a nuclear submarine, and he turned it from the worst performing sub in his battle group to the best, and that success outlasted him. So he built a structure that was able to outlast an individual, and that for me is really true success when you're talking about building things and building things that have value beyond you. And I think the final book's probably an interesting one. I grew up in a kind of a Christian home, so I, you know, was around faith, religion, things like that. But as I've kind of gone through my journey, and you know, a lot of tough times come, you kind of need to find something to hold on to. So I've really actually gone back to the Bible, and I've really looked at from the perspective of me building companies and looking at, okay, what are some of the lessons and parables and you know, ideas that I can take, you know, give me some kind of comfort. And I'm actually seeing a lot of startup principles there, you know, servant leadership.
That's interesting, how do you,
how do you deal with people to deliver success or to achieve a goal? And I've been reading, you know, a lot from that perspective, and I've really unlocked a lot of things that I then try in my kind of daily life, building things, working on projects, and they work. And I'm like, oh wow, okay, maybe there is something to this. So I'd say they're the four books that really have impacted my journey quite significantly.
Seth, where can people find more about you?
Sure.
Or your activity, you know?
Yes, I've taken to writing now. So it's the very millennial thing to do. You start a website and you start blogging and start having a journal. So you can find out more about me and contact me. It's the website is sethdallen.com.
Okay.
Post a link afterwards if you want.
Yeah, I will include the link in the notes. Do you have a podcast, or do you want to start? You wanted to start one?
Ah, yes. Well, there's the kind of been the unpublished podcast I have with a friend. He now works at Google in New York. We recorded a couple of episodes. Wasn't quite right. So I think later on this year we'll probably revisit that, and I think with the learnings and our lives have developed a little bit since we did that, I think that's when we'll probably start a podcast soon. But it's in the kitchen, it's being cooked, it'll be ready soon.
Great. So in the end, Seth, if there is something, you know, like you would like to add, maybe I didn't ask you. If there is something you would like to add?
I would say focus on people. When all is said and done, you know, you're on your deathbed, and it's a very overused cliche, but there's a lot of truth in the cliche that, you know, you're on your deathbed, you're not thinking, oh, I missed out on that deal, or I could have made more money. You start thinking about people, and you start thinking about what you could have done, the regrets you have, the roads not traveled. So I would really say, focus on people and don't be afraid to be who you are. Seize the opportunities. Don't be afraid of failure. Embrace it, learn from it. Don't repeat them. That's stupidity. But if you fail, okay, analyze it. What happened? What can I learn? How can I make the gap between my perception and reality closer so that I don't have these painful gaps that come up in very stark ways? And be patient. Be consistent. And good things will come when you embrace your curiosity with consistency and passion. And that's pretty much the last message, I think, from me.
Great. Seth, it was a pleasure. I really enjoyed talking to you. And it's nice, you know, to talk with people who went through different experience and who had a journey where they decided, you know, I don't want to be like everybody else. Many times we think, I don't want to be like everybody else, but I actually don't know how I want to be, but I will try, and I hope I will discover on my road. So it was a pleasure to listen to you and learn from you. Thanks a lot, man.
My pleasure, man. My pleasure.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah.